always a privilege to get to know people who are making the music out there, especially in South Africa. We've got the deep ones. So Dion Groot is our victim for the day. We have him sit still and then we find out, okay, who's this man? Hello, Dion. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Yes, yeah, I'm in the lovely Cape Town, so the weather is quite bad. It's misty and it's cold, and I'm missing Pretoria.
We can't even say, ach, shame, because actually we're jealous, you see. And right there, and you smell the ocean and the salt on the wind. Oh, it's okay. We'll be all mature about this and handle that. Listen, yeah, is your surname really Groot? Great.
No. That's actually taken from my father. My father was known as Big Dion. So Dion Groot. And I was always known as Dion Klein. Klein Dion. And to honor my mother and my father in the industry as well, to say thank you to them for who I am, I just said, listen, I want to be Big Dion. I want to be Dion Groot. And just to honor you guys, to say thank you for what you have been in my life.
Okay, so you don't want to not be small and rather be...
No. My surname is actually Loubser. So Loubser is quite difficult to spell as well, because which one is it? Is it the L-O-U one or is it the L-A... you, or is it the S-H-E-R, or is it just the S-E-R? So it's difficult to Google if you want to find me then. So
yeah,
we just said, let's make it just easy. So what would you prefer as a nickname for your stage? And I said, listen, this is what I would love to do.
Dion Groot. Okay, so tell me about yourself. I need to know, personality-wise, are you the flamboyant stage type, or are you actually this quiet person at home and then big on stage?
I'm actually very quiet at home. I love being at home. I have plants and I have animals. And yes, it's a privilege for me to say that I can be at home and then go out and just be another person completely, which is also a part of me. So I can balance myself out in that way. So I'm very energetic when it comes to the stage. It depends on the atmosphere as well. So if you're in a theater, I can do the stories. I can do the acoustic versions. But festivals, it's mainly just energetic and bring the people to life and just let them have a good time.
Okay, but show me now. Explain to me, how does a quiet introvert guy find out that you've got this other persona when you get on stage? I mean, get out of your skin. How did you discover that in the first place?
I think you grow into it, because I came from a small town, which is called Alexander Bay in Makwaland. And there's about 500 people in the town. So it's a small village and it's just Afrikaans everywhere. And for me to get, just to put myself out there in front of people was a huge mission. But luckily I started off in karaoke competitions and in small bars and so on. And that way I gradually showed this other part of me. Listen, you can do this. You can do this. And then I just grew and just wrote songs, and just it's easy to do your stuff when it's your own stuff. And then you know what emotion goes into that song. So I think that helps as well with just being in front of people. But later on, I love being in front of 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 people. We've entertained at massive festivals, Kruene, Kaka and Kaas, Annieboos, the Kirkwood Wildsfees, all these big stages, I love them now, I can't even say, I've had shivers running up and down my spine just entertaining these people in the beginning. But now I love it. I can't get enough of it.
Okay, so let's start right there at the beginning. Like, is music in the family? Is this a generational thing or is it your thing?
I'm still trying to figure that one out as well, because my father and my sisters, they can't sing to, they can't hold
tone a note. Deaf.
Not tone deaf completely. So whenever there's a song that they try to sing to me, I can't even recognize a song just from what they do. So my mother.
Do they know this? Because tone deaf people don't know they're tone deaf.
I'm not going to be the one to tell them. But the interesting thing is, my mother, on the other hand, she could just pick up an instrument and just play it. So she could play the piano, the concertina, the accordion. She could also play the saw. I don't know what you call it. She could play
really?
A saw. Which is crazy. So she could just, and the harmonica. She can just play anything. You can give it to her and she'll find out around about what it does to make this thing work. And just go with it. I think I picked it up from there. But she also can't sing. So I think that's the thing that I inherited from somewhere. I think it's probably the radio. Just listening to a lot of radio in the Makoland.
If you could inherit a voice from the radio, then many people would be able to sing these days. But I mean, you write your own music as well. So that first time you try it, because lots of people want to write music, but you've got to try it and then find out you can. Why did you try it the first time?
The thing is, my father bought me a guitar in 2003, and he said, here's a guitar, just try it. And I said, okay, I'll try it. And I started playing with it, and I said, I don't know any songs. I don't know what to play. I know a few presses on the guitar, a few chords, but I don't know songs. So what can I do? So I decided I'm going to write my own stuff. So then if people ask me to play something, I can play them one of my own songs instead of just trying to learn other songs.
Okay, but then you got to play it to someone and they got to be impressed. I mean, that's a risk right there.
That is. And it's a huge risk, especially when you have a father like mine, which he doesn't like music.
Oh, no.
At all. And he's like the Uriah Heep. Meatloaf, he's like the rocker in the band, Pink Floyd. So with me coming out with my songs, I knew it was going to take a lot to just convince him. And I tried to do that. And the first time I played to him, he actually broke down and he phoned my mom and he said, listen, you have to listen to this. And I think that's where it started. That voice from his side to just encourage me to do more and better.
Because especially because he wouldn't, especially because you didn't expect it from him, then when you do have his approval, it must mean such a lot.
It is. I think, and in the beginning he said, this is a good hobby for you. And so he went with that. So, and he said, you're talented, but you'll never be a Kurt Darren, or you'll never be a Blessed Bridges, or you'll never be someone as big as that. He never thought it. And he's always like, you're going to be just a bar singer. That's basically what you're going to be. It's going to be a good hobby. You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a way to just explore yourself. And I think he left it at that. And eventually in the years, as I grew in the industry as well, with my songwriting capabilities and so on, I grew up to be one of the main acts at stages and festivals now. So it's quite an experience. And he even came to me one time and he said to me, listen, I'm proud of you. Nobody even thought you would be a bar singer growing up to be a festival leader.
Mm.
So I think that was a good sign for me just to say, but listen, I'm doing okay.
Well, obviously you got your talent besides now from the radio. You got it from Jesus. And that does make a difference. If you know that you're supposed to be doing this, then it gives you the confidence to give it your all, because you know you've got his backing. So how did you meet him in the first place?
Yes, like it. Sorry, I just want to make sure. How did I meet you?
How did you meet Jesus in the first place?
No, that's the thing is, most of my songs, like Himmelpoorte, that was the first thing. I went through a bad relationship and I said, listen, if I want to go into heaven, I want to take somebody with me, somebody that I love. And it's not going to be where I was and with whom I was. So I'm going to go back to the Bible and what they teach us about giving love and accepting love in the same sense as well. So I wrote this song, Hand Up Your Bible. And even before that, Gee My Oor, where you look up to the heavens and just say, I'm giving it to you, and this is my hope and my dream, and I want to grow into this person that I hope I can be for other people as well. And I've written now this song, Hand Up Your Bible, which is a promise that you make to God as well. And it's not a promise that you make to your wife in per se, but it is. But you can't make a promise and let it fall on deaf ears. It has to have meaning, and that's where the Bible comes in, and God as well.
Okay, but we've got thousands, hundreds of thousands of religions all over the world. But we believe Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. So you better know that you believe what you believe when you believe it. So I exactly. want to find out, how did you meet Jesus? I mean, it's a relationship at the end of the day. So that you know, if someone asks you today, is your God the real God, that you'll know.
The thing is, he's shown me multiple times in my, just in my life. Listen, if you're down in the dumps, where do you go to? I went to Jesus. And I said, listen, I'm giving you everything. I've lost everything through my previous experiences. And I'm just giving this to you as a dream of mine. And to hope to give to you as well back whatever you give me. And hopefully I can just keep that name going. And whatever I attract will be in his name. So that's basically what I'm trying to give to people. Is this is what I went through. And I went to Jesus and I said, listen, I'm giving up on everything that I've done, I tried to do myself. I'm just following you. And even in the industry of Afrikaans, I'm trying to not do what normal people do. I'm trying to bring you in as well and to show them there is a way working with you and to helping you grow and to become who I am today.
Okay, so your music, the last three songs had been a trilogy. It was all about you discovering love, the whole progression of looking yeah. for it, finding it, and then saying, I do before Jesus. So this lovely lady, you got to tell us the story. I mean, we're the soppy type, you see. So we want to, how did you meet the woman that actually convinced you she's marriage material?
So I saw this, I was entertaining at a festival in Rustenburg, and I saw this lady doing commercials, and she's doing the entertainment, the videography. Yeah, the multimedia on the one side. So she's doing that for CakeNet and so on. So I saw her and she did an interview with me, and I just kept on looking at this woman, and I just thought, why is she standing out the way that she does? Why is she so pretty? And she has this lovely personality and being. And I just thought, okay, listen, for some or other reason, I need to just be around you. So I'm gonna do my best with this festival now. I'm going to hang around here, and I'm going to carry your cases and whatever film equipment you have, I'll help with that just to be close to you and talk with you. And she was all like snuffing me out and just, no, just go. And even we went and followed her on Instagram, and I was just like, oh, this woman is, the more I see, the more I want to know, the more I want to be with her. And that went on for 2 years, 2 years of just trying to get to know her or just to get it around her. And this one time, I went for an interview at Padstal in Pretoria, which I had to show as well. And I saw her walk in, and I went over there and I said, hi, here am I again. And she said, oh, that's cool. Let's go and have a drink. And we had a drink and we talked a bit. And I stood up and I said to her, okay, I'm not going to wait another 2 years or anything like this. I'm going to say to you straight up, you're going to be my girlfriend. And I'm going to marry you eventually. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm telling you, I'm going to take you now to my manager over there, and I'm going to introduce to him you as my girlfriend. That is what I'm going to do. And she's like, okay. And from there, it just went. And yeah, we got engaged, and I wrote the song Die Ehe. That's part of the trilogy of Finding Love. So the first one was Hemelpoorte. Hemelpoorte was the one that is the wish for love, and to have that one to carry through up into heaven with you. Or hopefully not at the same time. But that was the wish, to have someone like that and to go into heaven and say, but listen, I had this beautiful love that I had, and I'm thankful to go to heaven to have known this person on my side. And then the next one came, which is the Ian, and that is the one that is you're finding love, and we got engaged. So I wrote the song Die Ehe, which is all about just having that person, finding that person. And now with the last one in the trilogy, it is Antopi Bible, which is that promise that you make in front of God and just saying, listen, we are here. I'm putting my hand on the Bible with you in front of him to say that this is it. this is my life, this is my Himmelpoorte, this is my the Ian, and this is my aunt on the Bible.
Because at the end of the day, it's not a contract, huh? It's a covenant. It's still death. It's impossible. There is no such thing as divorce before Jesus. It doesn't work that way spiritually. So when you say yes, it's yes, and that is a yes forever. Yeah. Sure. That's a big one.
And yeah, it is. And also, you have to have the same beliefs, I think. So we had the same beliefs. We had this trust in God to give us this, and we grow into this. We have grown into this as a couple as well. And just knowing that your relationship with God is exactly what you want it to be so that you can flourish as a couple as well.
So besides that, she's obviously gorgeous. If you had to choose one characteristic of this lovely lady of yours that you find of her personality that you love the most of it all, what is it?
It's the way how she treats people. I can't say exactly what the personality is. It's the way that she talks with people, with this humbling, sweet softness, and just draws them in and just make them feel comfortable. She has this way of speaking to anybody and just letting them feel, why can I speak to you? You're such a pretty, pretty face, such a pretty person. Normally, these people are stuck up, to be honest, and full of themselves, but with her it's different. She'll speak with everybody and she'll make them feel comfortable, and she'll really talk interestingly with that person to make them feel valid and heard.
You know what, there's one amazing scripture in the Bible, Romans 1:20, which says that God has created everything that he's created specifically as a revelation of himself, of his character, his godliness, and his invisible things. So that's why I asked you, what's the characteristic of her that impresses you most? Because I wanted to lead you to, what's the characteristic of God, of the person that you know, that at this moment, because of where you are in life, impresses you most about him as well?
Yeah, I think this the charismatic person that she is, the thing that I look up to when I hear the word Jesus, I think of a few things. Kindness. I feel there's a thing that comes out that says there's not an authority, there's just a presence that's always there and you feel it. So the characteristic would be charismatic in a way that it is not as well. So I think that's a good way to just put it out there.
The darling of heaven. I always wonder because a while back, Misty Edwards, she's also an artist in America, she said that he's not in the manger anymore. He's not hanging on the cross anymore. That he is the darling of heaven. He's the leader of God's armies. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's this being. And then in our culture, we say, Liebe, Liebe, Jesus, like he's actually quite small still. So I love how you say he's charismatic. And then also it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Now that somehow he doesn't have to be mean to convince us to follow him.
And one of the things, I just want to add on to that, that one of the things that I really like, there's a song that I wrote a few years back in 2019, which is called 400 voet van oorbegin. Now 400 feet of beginning over in English, that's a song that I've written and it reminds me of my childhood upbringing. Of what I've learned of the Bible. And if you go to Noah's Ark, his boat was just over 400 feet, 450 feet to be exact. That small boat to carry all those animals, and to me that was the most interesting thing for God and Jesus to just let this be. Just let this land continue with all the animals. And that's I love my animals, and that brought me towards what life is and what is meant for us as well, is to let live and just be.
Well, let's learn from this. We're going to listen to your song, Aunt Obi Bible. By the way, I don't think you'll be able to sit still there at home. It's not one of those sit still songs. It's a lekker song, this one. Listen, if people want to follow you, follow what you have to say, where do they do so on socials and everywhere?
On social media, I'm on Instagram and on TikTok as at Dion Groot, so they can just follow there. And on Facebook, it is Dion Groot Musiek, which they can follow there. And I'm also on YouTube, they can just punch in Dion Groot and all my songs will come up on there as well. So it's on Spotify, it's on Deezer, it's on Apple Music. It's basically everywhere you want to look at. It's there. So they just have to type in Dion Groot.
Okay, onto my Bible. That's your hand on the Bible because you're making a vow before the Lord, a promise before the Lord. That's a promise and a half. And it sounds like this.